So, as part of the series of Shiurim on war and religion, an area that hasn't really been thought of much over the last, not 2,000 years, but easily 2,500 years, since we fought actual wars with our sovereign nation. Chanukah was an exception in the second Beis HaMikdash. We have to go all the way back to Malchus Beis David and Shlomo HaMelech and, of course, Chizkiah. We don't have a Masorah. We can't look it up in every single Sefer, although we can collect Makaros and ideas from several Sfarim. So what do we say about revenge and about Nekama? I say the word revenge and Nekama, and almost immediately we cringe. We find it abhorrent. Revenge is never a healthy trait. It's rarely useful. Doesn't solve the underlying issue. Communication solves it. It escalates. Retaliation. It, of course, is corrosive to relationships. And it's also toxic to your own personal well-being and sense of inner peace and inner quiet. To always try to look for revenge. And there's so many values that we cherish that revenge clashes with. Yet, the Ramban, in his comments to the Rambam's Sefer HaMitzvos, actually lists the Goel Hadam as a separate mitzvah. According to most Rishonim, the next of kin can, if they want, advance the legal proceedings against the murderer. They have first rights to, but it's not a separate mitzvah. It's within the mitzvahs that govern Jewish halacha, Jewish due process. Within that system, the Goel Hadam can be the plaintiff. But according to the Rambam, there's actually a mitzvah's essay of the Goel Hadam to pursue, of course, through legal means, not through vigilantism, not by killing. If the person runs through an ear miklat, they have to respect that, try to bring it to basin, without going into the halachas of Goel Hadam. But there's a separate mitzvah which suggests that seeking some form of revenge is an appropriate response. And, of course, you don't just need the Ramban, but the very, very famous psukim. I'll start with the most famous one. It's the Shir of Yom Revi. And it starts with Kel Nekamas Hashem, Kel Nekamas Ofia, Hinasei Shofei Taretz, Hashiv Kumbal Ogeim. And we'll see later, Gedol and Nekama Chazal say, Shinitna Ben Shtei Shemos, Ben Shtei Osios, Kel Nekamas Hashem. So the very few words in the Torah that are sandwiched by the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you have the well-known Psukim in Yeshaya. And excuse me for saying this, but they're very bloody. They're very gory. These are not Psukim that describe the Kama in a sanitized version. So I'm reading probably from the more famous section. Mizeba, this is in Perek Samach Yimel, the beginning of Samach Yimel. Who's coming from Edom? Their clothing are red. And we ask that comer, because the Kaddish Baruch Hu, the being that arrives, Madua Adom Lilavushacha. Why are your clothing, or is your clothing, red? Uvogadecha kederech bagas. And you look like you just went to the wine press. And the answer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ki yom nakam bilibi. It's a day of vengeance in my heart. Ushnas ge'ulai ba. So, it sounds like HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes revenge. Or, in another section, let me see if I can just move to the other section. I think it's in Yeshaya, Perek Lam Midalad. Same thing. There's a lot of Cherev Lashem Mal Adam. This is Pasuk Vav. The sword of Hashem is full of blood. Hudashna Mechevev. It's full of fat that has from the victims. Midam Karim Batudim Mechevev Kelios Elim. Hashem has slaughtered the enemies. Ki Yom Nakam Lashem. This is a day of revenge for Hashem. Shna Shilumim L'Riv Tzion. And a day of compensation. Or, as David HaMelech says, really, in the end of his shira, this is David HaMelech Shira, Hakel Ha'anosein Nekamos Li, Umarid Amin Tachdeni. He doesn't just defeat my enemies. So it sounds from all these psukim that real revenge, I don't just mean revenge as a euphemism for victory, for preventing evil, for distancing terrorists. Real revenge, actual revenge, Goel Hadam style revenge, is validated. So how do we reconcile between all these psukim, the Ramban, several Gemaras, which I'm not going to go into, and the fact that instinctively we feel, I remember the first couple nights, right after the horrible tragedy of October 7th, and everyone was still reeling and raw and sad, and we started bombing, And obviously we have to bomb because the terrorists, Yimach Shemam, were hiding behind civilians. And I remember that every time there was a bomb that was dropped on Gaza, in one of the nearby cities, and of course the city is Ashkelon and Ashdod, all the areas near south, you could hear the bombs, there would be loud cheers rising up from apartment homes, the complexes of apartment homes. All of a sudden you'd hear the cheers, everyone would be on their merpeset. And even in that raw moment, it struck me as inappropriate. Obviously, the mission was appropriate, and obviously, if there are terrorists that are killed in the bombing, it's appropriate, and obviously, every time a terrorist gets killed, we say, Hodel Hashem ki tov ki li olam chasdo, because these animals have to be wiped off the face of the earth. But just to be happy that we're getting back at people doesn't strike me the right way. But yet, if you're honest, and a lot of people read these psukim and incorrectly say, well, Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to take revenge, an eye for an eye, blood for blood, you killed ours, let's kill yours, retaliation, tag mechir. I'm not making a political statement. If settlers feel that taking acts of violence against local enemies, not civilians, but enemies, will act as a deterrent, then that's a completely separate question. Again, it speaks to larger issues of whether vigilantism is appropriate, is not appropriate, whether that will force the army to dedicate resources to keeping law and order, and more resources. So it's a complicated question. So I don't want people to imagine I'm issuing blanket rejection or approval, but to just say, you killed ours, we're going to kill yours, just to let more blood, that can't possibly be what Hashem wants from us. So what are the parameters that govern healthy nekama? What is healthy nekama? I don't even like to use the word revenge, because it's not revenge for revenge's sake. So here are the three parameters, as far as it strikes me. Number one, first and foremost, it's not about you. And it's not about satisfying your bloodlust and your desire to feel better about yourself that you took a pound of flesh from the enemy. It has to be, and this is not really number one, but it's 1A, 1B, and 1C, or three different ideas. It has to be that your defeat of the enemy, this reciprocation or retaliation, is accomplishing something higher, larger, more noble, more important. If it's just to feel good about yourself, to feel good about ourselves, well, they killed and we killed. And what are the casualty tallies? And how many? That's obviously corrupt. And it's obviously alien to our Masara. So what are the larger values that Nekama serves? And where do we see these in the Psukim? So obviously the larger value or the largest value is when you're being Nokem Nikmas Hashem. When you are defending the affront, the Chilul Hashem caused HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you're restoring Hashem's presence in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So for example, when the Midianites attacked the Jewish people, and their attack was to distract the Jewish people at Baal Peor, to lure them into pagan orgies, and 24,000 people died, and it was a Chilul Hashem, so Moshe, or Hashem tells, Nekom Nikmas B'nei Yisrael Me'ez HaMidyanim. But in the very next pasuk, Moshe tells them, L'seis Nikmas Hashem B'Midyan. So it has to be in a comma that serves a higher purpose, and one higher purpose is to preserve or to restore the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that has been sullied, that has been diminished, that has been defaced, that has been vandalized. Hashem is universal, cosmological, beyond, you can't even apply those words, but he's beyond, he contains the entire reality. But in this world, his presence is a product of human decisions, human behavior, human actions. And human actions can reduce his presence. Human actions can augment his presence. And when his presence is diminished, that's a Chilul Hashem. And because of that, Nekama can restore, on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, can restore Hashem's presence. Again, not to let blood, but to defeat those who have desecrated Hashem's name. And by defeating those Rishayim, to restore Hashem's presence, because the disappearance of Rishayim restores Hashem's presence, because they had challenged Hashem's presence. And that's why when David HaMelech, and I'll try to quote some of these psukim, when David HaMelech celebrates Nekama, he says, Hakel Hanosein Nekamos Li. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't just give me the opportunity for Nekamos, but it's a Nekama of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hanosein Nikmosav, I would write Li. It's the Nekama for Hashem. He doesn't just give me Nekamos, but he's the, so to speak, the object whose luster, whose presence I'm restoring. Or for that reason, that's why in Tehillim Tzadik Daled, Kel Nekamot Hashem, Kel Nekamot Hofia. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Nekama, is sandwiched between the name of Hashem if the Nekama serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu's purpose. So that's one scenario where Nekama is appropriate. That's one larger value that Nekama services. The second larger value that Nekama can service is a sense of fairness and justice. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a just Hashem. We know that Hashem put an instinct into the human heart. We want to sense justice in this world. We feel like our world should reflect HaKadosh Baruch Hu being the Melech HaMishpat. That's at the core of Jewish thought and at the core of why Jews have been so successful in driving this world towards greater progress and greater advance, because we believe Hashem is both just and compassionate. And when people suffer in this world, either through tragedy or just through limitation, they don't have technology, they don't have a computer. I mean, humanity hasn't reached medical advance, scientific advance, cultural advance. So we feel driven to improve the world because Hashem is just, and good people should, normal, good, average people should have better conditions. So we want to create, we want to innovate, we want to discover, as opposed to religions like Islamic fundamentalism that Rahman al-Islam views Hashem as angry and capricious. So there's absolutely no religious impetus to change or to improve the world. So we're instilled with not just a belief in Hashem who is a Mishpat, but in our own expectation of Mishpat. And to a degree, that's why we can live in just and sustainable and workable societies, because we introduce instruments of Mishpat into our society, and they act as deterrent, and they act as... So the concept of Mishpat, the concept of fairness and right and consequence and penalty is hardwired into our system. And that's why when we sense injustice, Jews were so active and leading, and that's what's ironic, leading some of the anti-discriminatory policies of the early 20th century, Jews were always rising up. Jews were communists because, at least in communist ideology, the communists were fighting the injustice of the management class, of the upper class, of the global economists, the global capitalists, the global bankers. So Jews were always at the forefront of the fight for justice. And when horrible crimes are committed and there's no justice, it's almost as if the core of our identity, I don't mean our identity as individuals, but the core of our identity as a people. How can we live in a world without justice? How can we live in a world without consequence? So it's not attacking the criminal just to let that person's blood and walk home and feel better about yourself. He took my blood, I'm taking his blood. No, there's a higher purpose. You're restoring justice into the world. You're restoring Mishpat. And that's why the bracha of V'lam Molshinim, which is a bracha of Nekama, to eradicate the evil, was juxtaposed, and I'll talk about the origin of the bracha a little bit later, was juxtaposed to the bracha of Hashiva Shavteinu. Hashiva Shavteinu Kiva Rishona, V'yotzeinu Kiva Tchila, V'yosem Imenu Yagon V'anacha. The reason, the lead-in, the entree, the preamble to V'lam Molshinim is, Hashem, please restore judges and kings and an environment of justice and fairness and consequence, because without that, human beings can't live. They can't create societies. There's no cause and effect. There's no expectation of justice. Hashem isn't seen as a just God. The absence of justice in our world can be devastating psychologically, collectively, socially. It can be so destabilizing to human identity. So when we take Nekama and we restore justice and we give individuals what they deserve, we're serving that higher purpose. And that's why that famous pasuk in Tzadik Daled I keep quoting, and I'll continue the pasuk, and I'll mention other pasukim that are similar. Kel Nekamos Hashem, Kel Nekamos Hofia. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is described as Kel Nekamos Hashem, and the word Nekamos is juxtaposed to Hashem's name, is sandwiched by Hashem's name, Kel Nekamos, Kel Nekamos, Kel Nekamos Hashem. Hinase Shofet Haaretz. Be elevated, the Shofet Haaretz, as Shev Gimol Algeim, and reciprocate to the evil nations what they deserve. So Nekama, in the beginning of the Pasuk, is insufficient and, of course, is inappropriate until it's Hinasi Shofet Haaretz. And by the way, we say the same thing in Tehillim Kuf Mem Tes, which we say every day. Cher Pifios Biadam Lasos, this is one of the Halalukas in Psuki de Zimra, Lasos Nekama Vagoyim, Tochechos Baleumim, Hashem should create Nekama Bagoyim tochechos balumim, lesor machem bizikim, to tie up their wicked kings in handcuffs, lesor machem zikam lechbedem lechavle barzel, and the noblemen in chains of barzel. Lasos bohem mishpat kasuv, hadarhu lechol chasidav. The Kadosh Baruch Hu, the tying up of kings and the lasos nekama bagoyim is lasos mishpat kasuv. There has to be a lead in to something larger, in this case, mishpat. I'll just quote a third pasuk, a lesser known parak in Tehillim. This is Tehillim parak Nun Ches. The end of Nun Ches also has the actual word nekama. Yismach tzadik ki chaza nakam. The righteous person will be happy now, happy, satisfied that there's justice, and he sees nakam. The Omar Adam, next pasuk, ach pri la tzadik, very famous phraseology, the pri tzadik. Ach yesh elokim shoftim baretz. There is Hashem, and Hashem's presence is known, and Hashem's presence in particular is a shofet, not a shofet in the punishment and penalizing, but a shofet who wants to restore justice and maintain justice, and Eila Mishpatim, and Melech HaMishpat, and in order to reinforce the sense of justice, that there are consequences, that the world has equilibrium, moral symmetry, there has to be an nekama from those who have committed outrageous chatayim. So there has to be something larger for nekama. It can't be to take blood. It has to be to restore Hashem's presence that's been mischal, and we certainly know that an attack on our people, in our land, with such atrocities that sound like remind us of the Holocaust, Rahman al-Islam, and on Simchas Torah, this is a massive, massive Chilul Hashem. Massive Chilul Hashem. And all the anti-Semitism and hatred towards Hashem's people, that this is unleashed. So the fact that we're chasing down the terrorists, I know that our government sees it differently. Maybe it's a deterrent, maybe it's just an act of nekama. But we're trying to fight a milchama, a war of spirit, and part of the spirit is restoring Hashem's presence by eliminating those who have attacked His presence. And the second is to restore justice. The third is as follows. The third is, and it's a very, very delicate issue. Sometimes you'll hear Holocaust survivors, for example, say that my greatest revenge is to having outlast Hitler, escaped to Israel, built a family, built something, the Nazis, Yimach Shemah, have since passed. This is my greatest revenge upon the Nazi regime. And if you think about it, is it really revenge, or just survival, perseverance, heroism, and many adjectives you'd apply to someone who outlasts atrocity and lives to see another day and builds where they meant to destroy. But why would you call it revenge? And the answer is because when our enemies try to destroy us, they're trying to behold over their own, they're not just attacking us, they're attacking Jewish mission that's fulfilled by every single Jew who lives and is attendant and sensitive to Jewish mission and contributes to Jewish mission. And the revenge we get is by foiling their plans and by surpassing them and continuing in our mission. So obviously the triumph is larger than the revenge, but for the person who goes through the suffering and the nightmare and the frustration and the discrimination and the persecution, so there's a real battle. That the battle was our enemies sought to eliminate the potential that we seek to accomplish. And by pursuing and achieving that success, we actually revenge our enemies. Our enemies' plans are foiled, and sometimes it's even ironic, as it was in the case of Haman and Mordechai. That's the very well-known statement of the Vilna Gaon in Shulchan Aruch. Person should be drunk on Purim until he can't tell the difference between Arur Haman and Baruch Mordechai. I'm not going to focus on the drunk part of it now. That's part of the Vilna Gaon's idea. But what was the revenge against Haman? The revenge against Haman wasn't just hanging his sons on a tree that he had made for himself, but taking all the wealth that he had acquired and all the wealth that he had intended to use to pay for his genocide and transferring that to Mordechai, making Mordechai into the viceroy. And of course, as we all know, a few years later, all this surge in Mordechai's popularity and surge in Jewish identity led to the construction of the Beis HaMikdash, which was probably built with a lot of the wealth delivered to Esther and Mordechai from Haman that he had accumulated from stealing and from robbing and from gathering all the wealth that Paras and Madai had taken from Bavel. And that's, of course, a larger picture. So the revenge is that Haman wanted to destroy the Jewish people, and the ironic part of the revenge is that his plans boomeranged, and all of his money and all of his funds didn't just leave, right? We think of the ironic part that the eights that he prepared for Mordechai, to hang Mordechai, became his own gallows. The revenge was outlasting Haman and succeeding in Jewish destiny, which Haman wanted to eradicate. And you see this very powerfully in the one pasuk I didn't quote, but it's probably the most well-known pasuk of Nekama, Moshe's description of Nekama. Again, a pasuk we all know from davening, not the Shir Shel Yom, but the tefillah called Av HaRachamim, which is obviously an appropriate place to consider Nekama. We use the phrase Hashem Yikom Damav, In the end of Hazinu, which is a short synopsis of Jewish history and our betrayal and our tshuva and all the suffering that we encounter, but in the end we perform tshuva and HaKadosh Baruch Hu then intervenes and redeems us. Harninu Goyim Amo. So now the nations are actually singing to us, not shouting at us, not screaming at us, not accusing us of genocide. Harninu, they're singing. Why are they singing? Ki, now ki is a strange phrase, doesn't mean because, doesn't mean through, but ki dam avadav yikom, v'nakam yashiv litzarav. Now, there are many, many ways to interpret this pasuk, but the way I'll interpret it now is that the singing to us is our nekama. Harninu gayim amo, ki dam avadav yikom, v'nakam yashiv litzarav. What is the nekama that Hashem provides for us? Not only that our enemies are destroyed. Okay, so another few people in the grave. Does that really change the underlying issue? It does, because it restores Hashem's presence, because the Mechal HaShemayim are no longer here. It does, because it restores our sense of justice, the first two issues I spoke about. But ultimately, what's our nekama? Harninu goyim amo, that we outlast history, we fulfill our mission, and despite all the people who rose against us to destroy us, Shebechol Dor Vador, we last to the end of days, and all of humanity gathers in Yerushalayim, and they celebrate our role in history, despite all the anger and all the hostility. So the next time you see a protest hurling vile anti-Semitic tropes and canards and false accusations and screaming, we're going to kill you, you know what our nekama will be? One day, all those hordes will gather and celebrate Jews and celebrate Judaism. And it will happen. Who's to know when? But it will happen. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to accelerate the timelines to make it happen as soon as possible. But that's our nekama. So, nekama can't be for personal bloodlust or personal vengeance. It has to be to serve a larger purpose that can only be served by eliminating the Rishayim. It's to restore the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to restore Kiddush Hashem as opposed to Chil Hashem. Killing Eichmann, Yimach Shema, was a Kiddush Hashem. Why? Not because people looked at us and said this or said that. But someone who would attack the Jewish people was essentially attacking Hashem's presence, and the removal of that person was a Kiddush Hashem. Mirat Hashem, when Yechi Sinwar will be killed, that will be a Kiddush Hashem. Number one. Number two, people live individually, collectively, socially, with a sense of justice. To restore, to preserve that sense of justice, there has to be consequence for horrible crime. Number three, and without justice, our entire world becomes toppled. Number three, revenge accelerates or advances the success that we reach, that our enemies try to eliminate and to cancel. And the revenge is that their plans to cancel, to thwart our destiny as an individual, as a nation, our revenge is that we eliminate them and we move on and we fulfill our destiny. This is why Rav Kook says, and with this I'll end, in his Sefer on Tefillah called Olas Hara'iyah. This is why the Gemara in Brachos describes that Rabbi Gamliel asked the Chachamim, who can compose a Tefillah of Vela Malshinim, what's called the Gemara Birchas Aminim. Now, why was Rabbi Gamliel asking for someone? There are plenty of poets and plenty of paitonim and plenty of people. All of a sudden, it was this bracha that required a special election process. Who can compose it? And of course, who did compose it? Someone named Shmuel HaKatan. Why was Shmuel HaKatan chosen? So Rav Kook, in his poetic and historically panoramic style, says, because here was the problem. How can you compose a tefillah about eliminating our enemies and killing our enemies and destroying our enemies and taking revenge against our enemies? That's a very delicate bracha to articulate. And if the bracha is going to conjure or elicit bloodthirst and vengeance and desire for blood and for killing and for death and for murder, then that can't be a bracha, that's a klala, it's a reflexive klala. The klala will turn back on the person. So that's why there was a pause. Who can write this bracha? Who can write the bracha thinking about some of the ideas I just mentioned? Who can write the bracha thinking about the nobility or the noble moments of nekama, not the disgusting, cruel, barbaric forms of nekama? And according to Rav Kook, that's why Shmuel HaKatan was chosen. For Shmuel HaKatan in Pirkei Avos is actually the one who authors, or partially authors, the Mishnah, that when your enemies suffer, this is in Perek Dalet Mishnah Yotes, you shouldn't be excessively joyful, at least in your expression. B'nefala oivecha al tismach. And maybe I'll talk about this a little bit, because obviously every time a terrorist is murdered, I feel it's a time for celebration. I say, Hodol Hashem kitov kiliyom chazav. That's a separate conversation. But Shmuel had proven sensitive, humble enough, compassionate enough to realize that even when your worst enemy dies, you don't celebrate externally, you're not jovial, you're not ecstatic. What you are, is a separate question. So he had proven that he had this inner equilibrium between, on the one hand, being able to appreciate the role of Nekama without letting it deteriorate into bloodlust and blood celebration. So it's a very, very sensitive and delicate and subtle topic, and I hope that this shiur helps set a certain framing for when Nekama is and isn't appropriate.